Hi and welcome to Home Education for All, or HEFA for short. At HEFA, we believe that community is the heart of home education, and so that's what we built. We built a community in the UK, helping, supporting and uplifting each other to be the best home educators we can be. And now we're coming to you via this podcast too. Stay tuned for all things home education in the UK via our amazing, experienced, knowledgeable and often hilarious team. We truly believe home education can be for everyone, and we hope listening here will give you the confidence or knowledge you need if you've been considering home education. Let's dive in. Hello and welcome back. So I want to put a disclaimer on this podcast simply because this week I am joined by a very special guest, which is my husband. Hello, husband.
Hi.
Hi. We've just been having a conversation about how he speaks really loudly, but because he's aware that I'm recording him, he's being weird, which is going to be fun. So this podcast this week is all about reluctant parents, reluctant family members, those family members who are not necessarily that positive about home education. They're concerned, they're reluctant about allowing kind of this different way of doing things to go forward. And it's one that we've had requested several times by a lot of our members, so hopefully it will be helpful for you. So I want to start off by saying that, as is our society currently, it is most commonplace that it falls to the mum to do most of the home education. And that is, you know, very much the same in our society when it comes to children going to school as well. We still currently live in a society where, you know, caring responsibilities, childcare, you know, who has to go and get the kids when they're ill at school, things like that do tend to fall to the mum rather than the dad. So that's not to say that we don't have home educators who are dads. It's not to say that we don't have really involved dads who are home educators, but the, you know, the kind of, what's it called, Pete? The normal, not normal, but the status quo. That's what I was looking for. Status quo is currently that it still mainly falls to mums. So most typically we have a posting group about a dad who is struggling with the idea of home ed, or grandparents, for example, who, you know, you've got a really close relationship with and you've spoken to them about this potential for becoming home ed, and they're really reluctant about it, and they're not keen on the idea. So what's really important to recognise is that everyone wants what's best for your kid, right? I want what's best for my children. My husband wants what's best for our children. And grandparents wants what's best for their grandchildren. And unfortunately, what tends to happen is what we feel is best for our children is what is most normal in society. So what's most normal in society is that your kids go to school, right? We want, you know, them to have the best education. We want them to have the best social experiences. We want them to have the best opportunities and the best career prospects. And what's normal in society is that they go to school to do that, right?
Yeah.
So why do these reluctant family members kind of resist all of the resources we throw at them, you know, so that they can learn more about home ed, they can learn more about de-schooling and understanding why home ed can be a really good option? You know, why do they why are they reluctant but also not able to take on all of that kind of research role that a lot of the people who are doing the main role of home ed do?
Because
you can't do everything all the time, yeah.
Because while a lot of it might fall to the wife or something, but a lot of the times that's because the husband or boyfriend or whatever is going to work.
Yep.
We can swap if you want.
I don't want to swap.
There you go. That's why you've got to do it.
But there is an argument that we're both equally responsible for education, right?
Yeah.
Like, by law.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So by law, parental responsibility is to both of us. And if the kids weren't receiving an education, we would both be liable for that.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So something that, because this is something that we struggled with when I was first exploring home ed. Did you know anything about home ed back then?
It was something that people did. But generally, they were, like, really rich.
Right, okay.
Or it was the thing that the hippies did.
Hippies did, yeah.
That was it.
Yeah, all the hippies and all the rich people do home ed. People like us don't do that.
No. Because apparently we're normal.
Apparently we're normal, yeah. I would disagree. But I think one of the first points is that it's kind of human nature, isn't it, not to go against society.
Don't know what you mean.
Like stepping outside of the norm, it makes you feel like, you know, you've got a big light shining on you that you're doing something different to everybody else.
Oh, so you mean like telling your family that you're going to home ed and then, like, your mum says, what are you doing that for?
Yeah.
Like, what's that? Because
you had those conversations with your mum, not me, but I was the one who did all of the research. So how did you cope with that? Did you just kind of go,
that's what we're doing?
Right.
And then she kind of didn't. I don't remember her agreeing.
Yeah.
But she kind of stopped arguing as much.
Yeah.
Plus it was beneficial that she was on the phone miles away and not next door.
That's true.
If she was next door, I think that conversation would have gone on a lot longer.
Quite possibly, especially with your mum. Love her. So when we were first looking into home ed, you knew about it, but you didn't really think it was something that people like us did.
I don't think I thought about it that deeply, to be honest.
Well, no, I did. But I was the one who was having to deal with sort of trying to get the kids into school, having the problems we had with the six-year-old at the time.
Yeah.
And having to attend all of the CAMHS appointments and the hospital appointments and all of that kind of thing. I was the one doing all of the legwork that was difficult and traumatising for him and for me. And I guess you were the one hearing about it secondhand.
Yeah.
So,
because I go to work and switch it off.
Yeah.
It's really quite nice to just switch it all off.
So, do you think, like, something that I wrote down was one of the reasons that, you know, reluctant parents or reluctant family members don't kind of research as much or understand as much about home ed is from a place of kind of safety as well. You know, we kind of crave safe experiences as humans, even if they're at the point of misery, because at least we know where we stand.
Yeah, but also when there's something that we need to find out about something.
Yeah.
Generally what happens is we talk about what we need to find or find out about, and then and then I'll go to work, and then I'll come back, and you'll say, oh, I found this, and this was really good, and this is this, this, and this. So I don't need to do it.
Right.
Because I've gone to work and concentrated on being at work and not concentrating on that, and then I come back, and you've done that bit, and then it's done.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. But that's because at the very beginning, when we first explored home ed, or I first explored home ed, and I spoke to you about it, you were quite reluctant. You weren't reluctant with the six-year-old because you felt that there was a good enough reason for needing to do home ed. But with the other children, you were a lot more reluctant around that.
Yeah, felt like they were copying.
Yeah.
Because he gets to stay at home and doesn't go to school and gets to play computer games all day.
So, I don't
want to go. I mean, who wants to go? If you can get told, do you want to go to school and sit in a school classroom with all the rest of them and be taught loads of stuff? Or do you want to sit at home and play Roblox all the time and Minecraft?
And that's
no,
the...
No choice.
Yeah. That's the kind of view from a child, isn't it? Is
not being funny. If you told me I can sit at home and play Candy Crush all day, I'm going to work.
Yeah, but that's not what they actually do all day. But that's the perception from the child.
Yes.
Is that, you know, they get to have fun and games and play all day, whereas I've got to go to school.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, you felt that home educating because... school was not meeting somebody's needs was an okay thing to do, but home educating because it's just really good for you and it's really good for your kids is not necessarily the same.
Yeah, but they were at different levels as well.
Yeah.
So when it started off with the younger one, it was because of it was a medical issue.
Yeah.
And we hadn't actually, or I hadn't looked at things like doing exams and things like that,
yep.
Tests, which what I assumed is that at some point that would start. And then the older child was then coming out. And I'm like, well, they're now at the point they're supposed to be doing all these exams and tests, and now they're choosing to not go to school. And we're right. Being all right with that?
Yeah.
Shouldn't we just be sending them? It's like, no, because we're doing the home ed bit. And then when you get to that age, then you are going to school or something.
Yeah, so you were kind of, you could see the point of home ed in the younger years, but for secondary school, you were like...
Go to school.
Yeah. And that makes sense, right? You know, we have this perception that... it's okay for younger children to play and explore and be fascinated by everything, and that's how they learn best, is like just playing and exploring the world. But we have this other view of children from about 11 years old where suddenly there's some kind of formalised learning that has to happen.
Yeah, because they've got to go to work.
Right.
Yeah, at 12.
At 12. But that's how you genuinely felt, right? Not that they had to go to work at 12, but...
No, they need to get... They need to go to school because they need to get their exams.
Yeah.
Because they need to get the right results because they need to have the skills to be able to get a job.
Yeah.
Or to go to college or university and then get a job.
Yeah.
And do something rather than being a professional Roblox player.
Just to be clear...
One of them has said that.
Yeah, I know. But just to be clear to those of you listening, my children do not just sit and play computer games all day.
No, they don't play computer games all day. You're right.
It's just that your perception, as the person who is not in the house most of the time, is that when you do see them, there are computer games.
It's very easy to think that they play computer games all the time.
And this is, again, something that's really important to note for people who are reluctant about home ed, right?
But it's also... I mean, the bit where I realised that even while they're playing computer games, they're doing something. Because that was just seemed to me as a point where they were doing nothing. They were just playing.
Mm.
They weren't doing any learning.
Yeah.
Was where the child who first came out.
Yep.
Then started to read and write stuff.
Yes.
And that was entirely self-led because he wanted to play, learn how to do different things, and then taught themselves by playing Minecraft, of all things.
Yeah.
Like,
he found a need, right?
He found something that he wanted to do, which then spurred the child on into doing something that they really, I mean, even now sometimes, but really, really did resist.
Yes.
Going anything near something that looked like a book.
Yep.
And then suddenly they're asking for books and wanting manual things. And
oh, the cheat books, wasn't it?
The cheat books.
Yeah.
How to make this and how to make that. And then looking up stuff on Google. And then to the point that we're having to stop him installing stuff.
Because he can now read.
He's now figured out how to do all this gear. And now he's reading all this stuff. And it's like, oh, install this and install this. And suddenly you've got 20 different mod packs installed on the thing. It's been downloaded from God knows where. And there's viruses installed all over the place. Because he's been finding out this really cool thing that makes your character go green.
Yep.
Like,
so do
stop
you...
that child reading.
So, for other dads that are really reluctant about home ed, it's, you know, home ed's very, very different to school and the way that you were brought up. You were...
Yeah, it makes no sense.
It makes no sense to you, right?
No.
And you're the person who is not in the house witnessing the home ed most of the time.
The best example that I see from... Almost from an outside perspective.
Yeah.
Is that the youngest kid who hasn't gone to school.
Yes.
Can do a lot more than any of the others at the same age.
And they did go to school.
Yeah.
Some
went and then came out earlier. Some went and came out late. I mean, one of them went to school, came out, and then went back in.
Yeah.
And he's in front of where they were would be.
Yeah.
And he keeps coming out with all these extra words that I'm like, where did you learn that from? Like,
yeah.
Oh, there was this dude on YouTube and he said this and he talks about this and they just like...
Yeah, because ask our kids about anything that they've done outside of gaming and they'll have nothing to say to you, right?
There's one of them. It's like you can ask him what he's done all week. And he will tell you every single time that all he's done is play computer games.
Yeah.
He's been swimming, he's been to the park, he's been to Scouts, he's been all over the place.
Yeah.
Yet he tells everyone that all he's done is play computer games.
Right, and as the parent who's not here to witness that he's done anything different, that I can understand how that would be concerning to you. Like, well, hearing him say that, right?
Yeah. But I mean, I know that's different, but...
But how do you know?
From an outside perspective, if he's talking to...
Someone else. A family member, for example.
Yeah, like his aunt or uncle or something. Yeah. And they're like, oh, what did you do at school? Oh, no, I don't do school. I do home. Oh, and they have all that conversation.
Yeah.
Then he then goes on to tell them how all he's done is watch computer games, play computer games, and watch YouTube.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of those things is definitely exactly the reason why he can do so much more now.
Yeah.
But he still, even when we've pointed that out to him, he doesn't understand that.
He doesn't, no. No. Because his focus is, and quite rightly, I think, that he just gets to play. He enjoys playing, he enjoys that he doesn't have to go to school because he can just play and he can enjoy and he can explore and have fun. And none of it, he's not learning anything. That he truly believes he's not learning anything. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a double-edged sword. I'm really proud that he doesn't necessarily see that he's learning anything like a school education.
Yeah, but the other side is that we've had issues with
family members
who are quite rightly quite concerned.
Yeah. Because
what they've been told is that all he does is play computer games.
Exactly.
And even now, after they've been told and explained and shown in so many different ways,
yeah,
we'll still have a complete tantrum about it.
Completely.
And they're, from their perspective, they're trying to be protective, and they're trying to make sure that this child doesn't just go through life playing computer games, because they're going to be a waste of their life.
Yeah.
They won't be able to do anything. They'll never be able to get a decent job. They'll end up working in McDonald's for the rest of their life.
Which is, it has really good training now, by the way.
Well, I mean,
it's amazing, like working for McDonald's now.
There's a 6-week training course where you can suddenly be the manager.
No. That's back from when you would have looked at working there. Now, it's one of the... No, they wouldn't give you a job. It's one of the best companies you can work for in the country currently.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
With free food, yeah. Anyway, there is a lot of social stigma as well, right? You know, as the person who's working outside of the house, this is something we say. We say that I work inside the house and he works outside of the house. Only one of us gets paid for it. We did that because when we had to become home ed, I had been looking forward to going back to work and, you know, being something other than mum again. And, you know, that all went tits up. So I felt quite like I wasn't contributing. So me and Mister did this kind of thing where we looked at how much my skills and the things that I do for the children and for the house and, you know, all of those kinds of things would amount to as a salary.
Mm.
Do you remember?
No. But carry on.
We logged it all down and we looked at average salaries of those people working those full-time jobs.
Mm.
And like you were basically saying that although you work outside of the house to provide the income,
yeah,
I provide absolutely everything else, that you, if I wasn't suddenly here, you wouldn't be able to do.
No.
So
I get the income for you to spend and stuff.
Yeah, right. Exactly. What's mine is mine, and what's yours is mine.
Yes, no, if I wasn't here, you wouldn't be able to do stuff either.
Debatable, but that's for another podcast. So the social stigma as someone who works outside of the home, when you have normal conversations with colleagues or I mean, your job's a little bit different, you don't go to the same office every day or things like that, but for those people who do, common things that people talk about is the weather. Are you going on holiday this year? What else? I haven't worked outside the home for years, so. But how are the kids? Do you have any kids? Yeah. How's their school?
Yeah. And as soon as I have that conversation, it goes on for 15 minutes just to explain to them why the kids don't go to school.
Yeah.
Which then, if I haven't explained it in exactly the right way to almost shut them down,
yeah,
it generates a lot of extra questions.
Yeah.
Which then goes on forever. So I need to make sure, sometimes I need to be prepared to sit down. Because someone will ask something and it's like, right, I'm not doing anything for the next half an hour now. Because it's just going to take ages.
Which is completely different to conversations you would have had when the kids were in school, right?
Oh, you'd be done in 2 minutes. Gone. Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's the norm. The norm is, oh, how are the kids? How's school for them? And you go, yeah, they're doing all right. Oh, you know, bit stressed with the old SATs coming up or something like that. And then that's it.
Yeah.
But because home ed is such an alien concept to so many people.
I think the thing that scares them is there's no things like SATs.
Yeah.
So there's no... I mean, there is records of what you're doing and what you're achieving, but not in the same way. So there isn't a thing of like, here's your SATs, so you can now do this level English and this level maths, and you can do this amount of artwork in a certain style of whatever.
Yeah.
Which is what everyone's used to being able to know. So if someone asks you about your kid, you can tell them something and they'll make an internal judgment, right? That person's kid's 13. They can do this, this, and this. They said their levels were that. Right. So that sounds about what I'd expect for a kid. So their kids are all right.
Yeah.
If they told them, right, yeah, my kid's 13, and they've got a level, whatever, really low of something. I don't even know what they are, to be honest.
No.
But they would then be really concerned and start asking loads of questions about, why is your kid so, oh, no, have they been sick for years and all the rest of it?
Yeah. So what you're talking about there is the again, that safety of the institution of school, right? So if you've got a 4 or 5 year old, oh, they're just starting school. How are they getting on?
Mm-hmm.
If you've got a child that's 7, 8, oh, they're going into uppers now.
It's because people know what they're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's the same experience they had, even though, like, for example, you get confused when... So we've got one child who's in school. She finishes school this year. And when I say to my husband, oh, yeah, year 11, blah, 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 he'll be like, no, you need to tell me in old money. And I'm like, oh, okay, year 5? Yeah. Fifth year?
Still can't work.
No. So, you know, although the wording around it might change, the milestones are all still the same. So you go from reception or infants into juniors, and then juniors you then go and start secondary,
mm-hmm.
or high school, and then at, you know,
yeah,
a couple of years later you have your options.
Yeah, years 1 to 3,
yeah,
your options in year 3.
Yeah,
year 4 and 5 is when you do your actual real work,
right?
What you get told. And these are the most important years of your life, because these are the exams that you need to do. If you fail these, you will fail life.
Is that what you were told?
We was told horrific stuff.
Because that's the next point I was going to make, was that I feel that a lot of people who are reluctant around home ed, or even discussing the idea of home edding their kids, I feel sometimes that a lot of that is not wanting to reflect on your own experiences and admitting maybe to ourselves that it wasn't as positive, or maybe it wasn't as necessary as we've always been kind of sold that it is.
I don't know. I can't have the argument because I really liked school.
I thought I really liked school as well.
I didn't bunk off. I was always there.
Yeah.
I was generally 5 or 10 minutes late every single day.
Yeah.
But that was okay, because that was the
registration
bit. But I was generally there every single day, and I remember having detention at least 2 times a week.
For being late?
Well, not as much being late, but not doing my homework or not finishing it on time and that sort of thing.
Right.
But I enjoyed it. I didn't not enjoy it. I used to do that. I used to do most of my homework.
On the bus?
On the bus. But generally, I did it at home.
Yeah.
Because I didn't get there. I got the tube because I lived in London. And I went, it was 2 stops on the tube. And there wasn't time to do your homework on the tube. It literally took 6 minutes. And
yeah. So you generally enjoyed school, but there, when we talk about, so this is something that's one of those kind of unconscious bias kind of things, right? Mm. Because when we have conversations about the kids, You will often bring up things that you didn't like about school or you felt were pointless, or you could see why that causes problems from your own experiences.
Well, I don't understand why you need to do RE or geography. Just, I'm not going to be a geologist. Why do I need to know geography?
Okay.
I know where I live in the world. I know how to get to school and back. Why would I need to know geography?
Okay.
If I wanted to find out something about the world, I'd watch a video on YouTube.
Well, you would now.
Yeah.
But when you were at school, the internet wasn't invented yet.
No, we'd have an atlas.
Right.
Okay, there's a big book.
Right, so you kind of, you can understand there being a minimum level of skill that you receive or you gain by a certain point, and then from that point on, it's about choosing what you're interested in and learning about it.
Yeah. I mean, I was taught how to, taught how to go to the library and how to reference different things.
Yeah.
How to find the right book for the thing that you want to find, and how to go through. There's these big massive drawers full of all these little cards.
Yeah.
And you had to go in the right subject, find the right bit, and then you...
God, you're showing your age.
Ticked through all the right bits, then you got the card, and it's right, that's the number. Went off, found the thing, come... And it was not complicated, but that's just a manual version of using the internet.
Completely. Completely.
Which a 9-year-old can use way too well.
You do mention, you did just mention that you were told, you know, that if you didn't do this and you didn't do that, you'd never get anywhere.
Yeah. Like right at the end of the fifth year.
Yeah.
I was getting ready for doing all your exams and all the rest of it. And I was told in no uncertain terms that I need to pass my English, otherwise I'm not going to be able to do anything.
Right. Did you pass your English?
I got 2 C's.
Okay, so that's technically a pass.
It was good enough.
Yeah.
Because that's what I needed, was good enough.
Right.
And I needed good enough to... Not so I could go and do things, because I hadn't chosen a thing to do, apart from working with electric stuff.
Yeah.
But I needed to be able to pass that for the teachers to stop nagging at me and for my mum to stop nagging at me.
Right.
That was my
That motivation. Was your motivation.
That was it. There wasn't anything else.
Yeah.
When I actually passed, then we had the summer off because we wasn't looking for a job. I wasn't going back to school. And my mum said that I needed to either get a job or I was going back to school.
Right.
And I kind of looked for about a day and found a job and applied for 2 or 3 and then took the first one that they offered me.
Doesn't sound like someone who thrived in school.
There was no struggling involved. It wasn't that I thrived. I just enjoyed myself.
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah, but you're like that in general though.
If you give me something to do, I'll go and do it, and then I'll go and do what I want to do.
Yeah.
Like, why do I need to make it any harder?
Right.
If you tell me there's an exam to do, I'll go and do the exam. I'll do the thing that it shows me. But if I can do it and I don't need to do anything more, I'm not going to sit there looking at something and working out how to do it when I'm never going to use it. But also, the other side of that is if I get really stuck in a rabbit hole of trying to work out something, I'll sit here looking it up for ages.
Yeah.
You see me sitting here looking, reading manuals about God knows.
Yes, I have.
And listening to that random dude on the podcast.
Phil Zito. I think for me, what it came down to was that although you didn't really trust the idea of going outside of the norm, you understood that there was a problem with the younger one and it made sense to do something different. But I think the turning point for me and us kind of discussing it, because I remember being quite frustrated with you because I'd kind of explain all these things to you because I'd done so much research, and you'd be kind of like, yeah, but it doesn't make any sense. You should, like, they need to go to school, kind of thing. And I think in the end, I said to you that unless you were going to do as much research as me and to be as involved in home ed as I will be, or I was at that time, unless you were going to do those things, you needed to keep quiet.
But I can't do as much.
No.
Because I've got other stuff that I need to concentrate on.
Right, which is where we came to that practical solution, which was...
It's not that I don't want to.
Yeah.
It's just that my head's already full up with other stuff.
Absolutely. And that makes complete sense. But from my perspective, you were giving arguments that were uneducated because you hadn't done the research, but then telling me you can't do the research because you're too busy with work and all of those kinds of things, but then still questioning the person who has done the research.
Yeah.
So,
but I also do that. I will ask someone why the red paint is red.
I know that, but that's besides the point of what we're talking about. We're talking about home ed. So in the end, we made the agreement that you would trust that I am doing the research. I am monitoring what we're doing. I am adjusting and changing and moving through things as I learn more, and that you would kind of withhold your judgy comments. Do you remember those judgy comments? You would come in and say, oh, on the computer again, are you? Oh, like, when are they actually going to start doing any work?
Oh.
And all of those, you've forgotten. It's been 10 years. No, so
I have a vague recollection of...
Do you have a vague recollection of the look on your wife's face?
No.
No?
No. I might remember telling them to get off the computer. You've been on it too long.
Yeah.
And then, how long have they been on that? Oh yeah, I've been doing this. Right, turn it off. Go and do something else. Go and read a book. I don't want to read a book. I'm playing my game on Minecraft.
Yeah.
Right. Well, you've been playing Minecraft all day. Turn it off. The computer's tired. Go and read a book. Then started looking up all kinds of things, like how to put a timer on the computer.
Yeah, you did.
At one point, I was setting them up like an internet kiosk so they could turn it on for an hour, and then it just kicked them out.
Yeah. Yeah. And all of that was because you, and I had to keep coming back to you, didn't I, and saying, you have to trust me.
Yeah.
You have to trust me. You're not the one who's here doing it.
Yeah.
You're the one who's seeing little snippets of the stuff. So if you want to know what we've done all day, don't ask them. Ask me.
I mean, not being funny, any kid who's going to school anyway.
Yeah.
By the time the parent who's going out to work comes home, the kids are going to be on the computers anyway.
Absolutely.
You walk in, oh, look, they're doing what all the rest of the kids are doing.
Right.
At the same time.
Exactly. But you trust that for those 6 hours, they've received some kind of education because they've gone to a school.
Yeah, they're not just wildlings.
They're not just wildlings. Right, exactly. So you put your trust in the school, and what I said to you is you have to put your trust in me.
Yeah.
And you did.
Yeah.
How do you feel about home ed now?
They should all go back to school. So tiring.
It is really tiring because we've got a 9-year-old who is still, he hasn't had that enjoyment of learning beaten out of him, right? That's
way too many questions.
He does ask way too about many questions.
Anything. His recent one was like, he wants to start making cakes.
Yeah.
So he wanted to make a cake, just something complicated like a chocolate cake.
Yeah.
But because he can't have milk, he decided that we was going to make cake, and I said okay. And before I'd known it, he'd gone in the internet and he found which one that we needed to make. So it was made with soy, and it was all the things that he could have.
Yep.
And then came in and said, right, there you go, that's what we need, that one will work. I hadn't even looked.
Mm-hmm.
And he's already looked, found it, and there you go.
He is very proactive, isn't he? Which is like the opposite to the other kids at that age. You'd be dragging them to the kitchen. Come on, come and make cake with me. Whereas Ben's like, I want to make... Oh, sorry. I just called him by his name. I'm going to make cake.
Hmm.
And I know... You are going to help me.
Yeah.
And I'm going to provide you with everything so that you can't argue.
Yeah.
You know, he just wants to learn. He wants to... join in. And
but he wants it because he wants the end result.
Yes,
because he wants chocolate cake, and he knows that he can't just go to a shop and get chocolate cake unless we get specific chocolate cake.
Yeah,
and if we get that woman to make them, they're really expensive, and he knows they're really expensive, so he's found a way to get chocolate cake that isn't really expensive, and he knows that he's going to like it and it'll be okay and won't make him sick.
And he's also really good at arguing his case.
Uh-huh.
Like, he has gone as far as to do things like cost things up and compare so that he can prove that doing it his way is way better.
Uh-huh.
Just involves a lot more parental involvement.
He's nine.
He is nine, yeah.
Didn't do that when I was nine.
Nope.
I was like
avoiding my parents when I was nine, I think.
Messing around, taking bikes apart when I was nine.
So you were still doing the interesting kinds of things that you were interested in outside of school. But a lot of kids don't do that because they're knackered from 6 hours at school. They end up just wanting to just veg out in the afternoons and evenings.
Well, you see, that's what happens now.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, that's not what happened.
No, your parents chucked you out of the house, locked the door and said, don't come back till dinner.
No.
Yeah, they did.
It was like...
Slashkey kids.
Before I was in secondary school...
Yeah.
Me and my sister, we went to the same school and we got picked up by mum's friend. And then we stayed at her house till mum came home. Then we went back and then we was told we could either stay indoors or go outside and play or whatever. Then we had dinner, and then we were allowed outside to play.
Yeah.
And there was like a little green bit where, and it was like, it was almost like a little bit around the back of the houses. All the other kids played there.
Yeah.
And then when I went to secondary school, my mum was going to work.
Yeah.
And I would bring myself back from school, and I would generally do a bit of homework. Mum would come in, we have dinner, and then I'd go out, and then I'd come in when the lights came on.
Mm.
Didn't sit there watching films and doing nothing and sitting around playing this, that, and the other. You might sit there and have a little, what did we have? With those little game and watch things.
Yeah.
But I don't think they held your attention as much as the internet does.
No.
Because you're on there and you can change and switch and change to different things. Whereas you had this game that just they played a game. Or you had a, what are they called? The Nintendos.
Yeah.
Game Boys. You could stick a different one in. That was good. But you didn't do that. You went out to see your mates.
Even though you'd seen them all day.
Well, I didn't go to school with them.
Right.
So it was a different bunch of people.
Yeah.
But we went out and we played, and there was swing slides and...
And that's what we do during the day in home ed. So during the day in home ed, the kids are out and playing with their friends and things like that. And then in the afternoons, they tend to be in playing computers or watching telly or chatting to their friends on the phone, things like that.
Yeah.
When it comes to grandparents being reluctant to home ed... I think for me, it falls to something a little bit different. I think for me, when it comes to grandparents, I think a lot of it can feel a bit defensive on behalf of the parent, of the grandparent. You know, they're seeing your choice to do it really differently to how they did it with you. And, you know, sometimes that can feel like an attack on how they parented you.
But they know that it works.
Well, yeah, exactly. They works is subjective, right?
Okay. Right, so from a position of, like, a grandparent who's talking to their kid who now has a job and can support themselves in one way or another.
Yeah.
And that person's now going, well, I'm not going to teach my kids the way that you did. I'm not going to do it the way the system taught me. And I'm going to do everything different.
Yeah.
And the grandparents were like, you're all right. What was wrong?
Right. Why so they immediately kind of see it as a, well,
what did I do wrong?
What did I do wrong? Yeah.
What was so bad with how I did?
That you would choose to do it so differently to me.
To do it so different because it would clearly worked. So what's wrong?
See, I didn't have that with my mum. I have had it with other family members. Mm. But with my mum, she was like, it's brilliant.
That's because your mum's a hippie.
Yeah, she is. You know, she didn't go as far as to say that she would have home-ed us if she had known about it.
That even if your mum knew about it, your mum would have told everyone that it doesn't exist and you're getting out of the house and going to school.
Yeah, agreed. Bless her.
It's like, no.
Three daughters is not fun. But yeah, she was really all for it, and she really loves seeing what the boys learn and how they learn. And, you know, she'll joke when she comes around and 9-year-old is playing with his, you know, his marble run and things. Mm-hmm. And she'll go, oh, if we just adjust that bit and blah, blah, blah. And then she'll walk into the kitchen for a cup of tea and goes, that's physics done for the day. You know, she loves it.
Yeah, but what she doesn't realise is she's looking at changing and altering his design of the marble run because it's not put together how it serves on the box.
No, she's not. She doesn't do it like that. So
what I mean is that she doesn't see that that's what he's already done, is that he's already put it together the way that it says on the box. It's already been changed 15 times.
Yeah.
This is now being optimised to go the quickest way around, so, and all kinds of other stuff.
Absolutely.
It's...
Yeah, she walks in kind of halfway through the experiment and exploration.
There you go,
and
I fixed it.
And he's kind of talking to himself, going, why won't that get that far?
Yeah.
And, you know, she'll kind of come in and go, well, if you added this, mm-hmm. what might happen then? Oh, well, that would change
the angle of the dangle.
The angle, and therefore speed it up because of the force of gravity. And, you know, he'll explain it to her. And she'll go, okay, cool. I'm going for a cup of tea. Yeah. That's physics done. Whereas I remember having a conversation with your mum about youngest never going to school. Mm-hmm. And she really struggled with that idea. She struggled with the idea of him at least, you know, she felt he should at least go to preschool or nursery.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was really important to mix with other children because she was a childminder for years, right? And we had this conversation where, thankfully, we can have these kinds of conversations in our family, where I was like, okay, tell me why it's important for him to, you know, associate with, you know, 20 other 3-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
What does he learn from that?
I mean, I know as a parent, being around 20 through other 3-year-olds, you learn that you don't want your kid around 20, 33-year-olds.
Right? You want them around a mixture.
The noise is horrible. I don't understand how teachers do it. Mm. I'd walk around with earplugs in all the time.
Agreed. And actually, what she needed was reassurance from me that just because he wasn't going to preschool didn't mean that he wasn't having the same experiences that you would have.
He's still going to see other kids.
Yeah, exactly. So he was so busy at 3 years old in our home ed community that he wouldn't have had time to fit in preschool.
No.
And once she kind of understood that and had that reassurance, she was fine. Mm-hmm. She still didn't agree. And she said that, you know, I still think he should go to preschool, but I can understand why you're choosing to do it this way. It's just that, you know, as a parent myself. So her saying as a parent myself told me that she was reflecting on her own parenting of you guys, mm-hmm. and feeling like I was somehow judging that,
mm-hmm.
because I was choosing to do something differently.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a lot of the grandparent thing makes sense. It comes down to, well, you know, we did it this way and you turned out okay, didn't you? Or did you not? And you're now saying that you didn't turn out okay and that's all my fault.
Yeah, but also the, I mean, I'm nearly 50. My mum is 18 years older than me.
Yeah.
And my mum didn't do GCSEs.
Right.
My mum was born in 56.
Yes.
Which means she didn't do GCSE. She did O levels.
Yes.
And what are they called? The C levels or something like
GCEs.
GCEs. And they did English grammar.
Yes.
And they did English language and English literature. And they did all kinds of very specific topics rather than maths.
Yeah.
They would do a lesson of algebra.
Yeah. It
would be one lesson.
Arithmetic. Yeah. And yeah.
Everything was very segregated in the way that they learned, whereas as it then changed to GCSEs, everything was joined together and muddled into one group.
Yeah.
And then they've then done similar sort of things as it's gone on over the years, but it's entirely different. It's like a completely alien concept from that to home ed.
Absolutely. But also, I think with a lot of grandparents and with a lot of sort of reluctant other halves or separated parents or things like that, is for us to be able to ask them to reflect on their own learning journey. You know, your mum had you very young, and she ended up going to night school, right, to mm-hmm. become a typist.
Yeah.
And so her learning journey is different to what she expected it would be, but she still got where she wanted to go.
Yeah.
And that's very similar for a huge amount of people. My mum, you know, tried passing GCSE maths so many times, didn't manage it. Did eventually get there, and I think she was 50.
Right.
But she needed it to get to the next bit of her career that she wanted to get to.
Right. But before, she just wanted it.
Yeah.
Whereas when she needed it, she was able to pass it.
I think she still failed once or twice, but she got closer and closer to it.
Yeah.
And she, because she knew she needed to have that bit.
Right. So in the same way as the kid wanted cake, so
yeah,
he went off and found the information.
Exactly.
Got what he needed. And then that's what he ended up with.
And I think reassuring grandparents and the reluctant parents that, you know, well, hang on a minute. Let's look at your journey. Let's look at your journey. It doesn't matter whether you liked school or not.
Yeah.
Let's just look at your journey and how you went through school. You either did or didn't get your certifications at the end. Where did you end up, even though that happened?
Yeah, but the thing that actually spurred your mum on was when there was a demand on it.
Yes.
Which is kind of how home ed works.
Absolutely.
Because you're led from one thing that you want to achieve, or you want to see, or you want to do, which then leads you to learn and find out about one thing, which leads to something else, which leads to three other things that you need to look at.
Yeah, so we're far more self-directed in our learning approaches if we reflect on it as adults. And actually, there are ways that we can talk to each other to try and find the common ground and the commonality.
I mean,
so that home ed becomes less scary.
If you think about it now,
yeah,
as a grown-up woman, grown-up person, man, doing whatever job you do.
Yeah.
You learn the same way as someone doing home ed.
Yes.
Because even now, if you're, I don't know, all the prices in the world have gone up.
Yes.
Everything's gone really expensive, and your brick wall at the front of the house is broken.
Stop talking about our life.
That's an example. So your brick wall's broken, and you don't have, I don't know, 1800 quid to pay a brickie to come round. So you go on the internet and you find out how to do bricky, and you find out if there's a course you can go and do, or you watch some YouTube videos of people doing stuff with that weird guy off the Making Homes program with his thing called the Brickie,
Yeah.
which you can use and do and build your own brick wall from scratch.
Is that what you're going to
I
do
would
for our front wall?
if I had enough enthusiasm.
Maybe I should give him enough enthusiasm, listeners.
But what I mean is that it's the same thing with home ed, is that you find something that you want to happen, or
Or need
something you need
to,
to have,
yeah.
something you need, and then go and find the information.
Yeah.
So essentially, what home ed's really doing is teaching kids to be adults really, really young, and to be able to find information a lot easier and quicker, rather than waiting until they're supposed 18 adults and then start figuring it out, then spend the next 5 or 7 years trying to work out how to do stuff. Oh, look, now you're 25, now you can be a productive member of society.
I love that take on it.
But you can do it when you're 5.
I love that take on it because you certainly didn't feel that way when we first started home ed, and seeing how you trusting me with the bits that you weren't able to be a part of, you know, the research into the different techniques and the different ways we can do it, and you know, the involvement with the local authority, and you know, all of these different things that you haven't been able to take part in, giving over your trust to me to trust that I'm doing those things has enabled you to just kind of take a step back and see what's actually happening, see the learning that's actually happened over time, and it's completely changed your view. And I'm not going to lie, you're like one of the biggest advocates of home ed now. With people that you talk to.
But then also, don't forget, I had a Nokia for a really long time.
You did.
Everyone
What's
else
that got to do with this?
was like, it took me a while to get broken in. It's like
Right.
everyone else was walking around with iPhones and Blackberries and all the rest of it, and I'm still rocking out my like 6110 Nokia brick. It's like,
Yeah.
and then
So basically, don't beat yourself up if you're that reluctant parent who's taking a while.
yeah.
Maybe just close your mouth a little bit more, watch a little bit more, and trust the other parent to do what's best for the children. And
Yeah,
that
but
doesn't mean trust them
you'll still
forever.
have an internal argument going, they're so wrong, we're going to
Yes.
break the kids and we're going to get arrested and then we're going to go to jail because we've mistreated the kids and we haven't taught them anything, and then they're going to take them away and then that's it. And then my mum's going to kill me because I've now had the kids put into care because I haven't taught them properly.
And those things in your head still exist now, right? After 10 years.
Not so
Not so
much.
much. But it was at the start.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming to chat. He was supposed to be at work today, but there's a train strike, so we get him at home today, so you can be in charge of home ed today.
Yeah, I'm going to go to the pub.
You're going to go to the pub. So yeah, I hope that this podcast episode is helpful to those of you with partners or family members that are quite reluctant about home ed, and that maybe you can just send them the link to this and listen to, you know, two normal people having a marital conversation, stroke, slight discourse in some places, which is completely normal. And it might give them some ideas on how they can approach this so that they can better support and invest all of that worry into making home ed amazing instead of being against it. Until next time, take care and we'll see you soon.